Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find out what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Top five Louisville candidates. I'll give everybody a guess as who's not on this list. And
Bill Self.
He is absolutely not. You're right. He is not on the list.
Hurley.
Not on this list. But I think maybe if you ask some Louisville fans, they're like, why can't we call Dan Hurley?
Yeah.
UConn's only won five national championships.
Reach for the stars, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Number five, Scott Davenport at Bellarmine. They're always in the tournament. He's really good. Now, this would be a reach outside into the mid-majors, obviously, and a small mid-major at that. But, going outside the norm and not hiring an alum or going for a big name that eventually gets you wrapped up in scandal, maybe that's the way to go here. And I've got a couple of smaller names on this list before we get to three bigger ones. But I think, you know, I don't know a ton about him, but I do know that Bellarmine pretty much in the tournament all the time. So, they're fighting their way through. If he can do that at Bellarmine, he sure as hell can do it at Louisville. So, number four, one of the best stories of the year is Indiana State. Josh Schertz has done a great job there year in and year out. This is another one from the mid-majors. Look, he can find, diamond in the rough recruits in this crazy era, and moving that to Louisville to take over for a team that's won, 12 games in 2 years, Smokey, or 15 games, whatever it is, that Kenny Payne won.
It was 12 and 52?
12 and 52 over the last 2 years. Josh Schertz could certainly improve on that. If you've watched Indiana State play this year, they're fun to watch. They're a good watch, and they play a style of basketball that's really fun. And Louisville fans know their game, and so does Josh Schertz. So this one, to me, would be a very interesting and a nice move up, too. And also not just going, who's a big guy at a big place? Let's go get him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Indiana State, man, anytime, doesn't matter, 20 years from now, I hope I'm around. I don't know if I will be, but I'll always think of Larry Bird.
Yeah.
The 1979 team that ran the table until they ran into Magic in Michigan State in the championship game.
Number three, Smokey, a guy that you know well, yes. Brad Underwood, Illinois. Now, look, Illinois is a really good spot. He's done a really good job at Illinois, but he's also a guy that has never been afraid to move, and if Louisville makes him a competitive offer – I would see
Man,
that that
Illinois,
would be
a- they are very committed when it comes to basketball, and I know Louisville thinks they are and probably are. They just haven't had a really, really good run. Stephen F. Austin to Oklahoma State was there for a cup of coffee straight to Illinois. So
yeah, so I mean, we'll see. I mean, like, but I do think that this one makes a little bit of sense for them, especially since he's had big success in a big conference. Not big success, but pretty damn good success at Illinois in a big conference, and that's what they want. Although not, you know, maybe winning a national title. He has not done that, but one to consider. Number two, if you want some attitude, Eric Musselman from Arkansas. You know, he's the SEC is about to get a lot deeper with the two new teams coming in. And maybe you do take a chance to jump into the ACC with an opportunity at Louisville starting at the bottom to build them up. Or do you use this as Arkansas to get more money? As they've had some success, obviously, under Eric Musselman. He's a firebrand, to say the least, and can be a bit of a, I'll just say it, a clown over there on the sidelines, but he's a very good basketball coach and he's a very good recruiter. And he's, you know, been, you know, he's a guy who's been considered, he's been in the NBA. He knows how to coach that kind of style of basketball. I think this one kind of fits Louisville a little bit to me.
Yeah. He's a little, his emotions, you know, he and Nate Oates, I don't know. I'm not trying to compare the two, but because they both are in the SEC. Musselman, he's sometimes, calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what they need at Louisville. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that you bring some
energy.
It's not
been a good year for Arkansas this year, that's for sure.
No, absolutely not. But he's had some success in the past.
Yeah, just as a program, like, I mean, you talk about teams in danger of being the botter feeder, not as a program, as a university, like as far as the big two sports. It seems like they're kind of floundering at the wrong moment while others are having success. And this would be a certain a blow to take as well. I wonder in basketball how much the difference in the conferences and money and all the things that come with that, how much that will affect the basketball coaching ranks when it comes to head coaches. Like, it's obvious if the guy takes from Oklahoma State takes the Ohio State job, but is the Arkansas job going to be automatically better than the K-State job, just simply not based on history or anything, but just because of the league that they're in? That's something I wonder about moving forward.
I want to go back to Illinois and Louisville. Louisville, when I was growing up with Denny Crum and all the things they did, it was a great job. They haven't done much in a long time. I think Illinois might be the best job in the Big Ten with Michigan struggling, Ohio State. Purdue, of course, that Painter's done a great job, but I'm still not so sure. Indiana's not who they were or have been for a long time.
That would take
a monumental deal in front of Underwood, for him to leave Illinois.
And the reason I put him on there is he's just a guy who
he's
open to that,
a
possibility more than, you know, maybe somebody in Waco would be. Or Mick, like, keep talking about Mick Cronin at UCLA. He's got a $20 million buyout.
Yeah.
Let's be real here, Louisville. And this is the dude I would hire. I would hire Dusty May from FSU. Young guy, homeboy had FAU in the Final Four last year. FAU. Okay? He can coach. He's got good enthusiasm. He's young. He's vibrant. Let's go get Dusty May if I'm Louisville and shoot some life into the ACC, which was this year. And it doesn't help to have one of your best basketball brands be finishing last. But outside of Duke and Pitt, North Carolina, I'm leaving somebody else. But like, it's kind of a dud of a year for the ACC. Miami was way down. You know, Leonard Hamilton needs to retire. You know, there's all these things going on. Clemson looked like they might be good, but it kind of, you know. And so Virginia's not what they were under Tony Bennett. They're still okay, but they're not any great shakes. So, yeah, you know, bring some new life.
Bring some, breath of fresh air. And I don't know what the situation is with them recruiting-wise. Louisville, again, usually speaks for itself. But, man, they have been awful and – May, he might like it where he is because of the fact he could win the conference, get to the tournament, and make a deep run occasionally.
Yeah, but I think in talking to Tom Herman yesterday, we realized there's a split gap with where he is and where a program like Arkansas is. Yep. So that would be, again, that goes back to the money thing I just brought up of how much of an effect is there from a Big 12 ACC level if, you know, there's this big separation versus an SEC or a Big Ten type of a job. But, yeah, I mean, FAU. I mean, they're further down that chain. In basketball, maybe it's more unique, and that doesn't matter as much, but that's going back to the question that I had of, like, how much does that make a difference now in how even basketball jobs are perceived? But, yeah, he's done a great job, obviously, and would be a name you kick the tires on for sure.
All right.
That's it.
There you go. There's the five right in the middle. A former Lumberjack coach. I like that, with Brad Underwood, who, again, spent time for a cup of coffee at Oklahoma State. Garrett Ross, thank you very much. I just got a text from our good friend Taylor Bryan, who's at North Texas, was at Baylor. What in the hell's going on with your Huskers? Yeah, that's a great question. It was a story from earlier today with Trev Alberts, now official, the AD at A&M.
You tell Taylor Bryan to apply for that job. He's a mover and a shaker, that
TV.
No,
he's...
if there's somebody I know who could handle it, like day one,
he would get them in shape. I don't know if we ever asked what their alternate is now for them.
I mean, it's a nice move for A&M. I think we need to like tap the brakes a little bit on how great Trev Alberts is, though.
Yeah.
People are
acting like he's. I don't think it's right to act as though this is like getting the five-star quarterback per se, but it is an interesting move because of where Nebraska certainly sees themselves. And where A&M sees themselves and how Nebraska fans view A&M, I don't think they view that as a job that's exceptionally better than theirs, especially for a guy who went to school at Nebraska to go and take that, especially then in the middle of having just recently made a big move like the hire of Matt Rhule. So that is something that we're going to have to wait to hear from Trev Alberts on and get some clarity on why that went down. And I know Nebraska fans are probably eager to learn that. But, yeah, that's something to – continue to watch, I guess, the next couple days. And then the fallout from this playoff. I mean, we got the news at the start of the show, and I think everybody's still unpacking the news. And based on what response that you got back in reaching out, how do you feel about just the general news today?
I thought that there would be a little bit more give, that the ACC and the Big 12 would maybe get a couple of more nuggets, and I don't even know what that means. Maybe it's just a perk or two, but it seems like pretty much it's exactly what was on the table in the first place.
So why?
Still very lucrative,
yeah.
Still a lot of money, three times more than any of them are making right now. I am not surprised if the ACC gets an extra percentage or two because they still have some alphas. They got the logos in Clemson and Florida State, Miami, North Carolina, so that's not a surprise.
And if that falls apart, they have the look in 4 years, and that changes
that. I want to know what the format, and now that they have the money set, which is what Ross and everyone else has been reporting, including even those in the college football leadership area, what will the format look like? Is it the 5+9, or is there a couple of intricacies inside there that may still be you take this or not?
Yeah, and that's something that Paul and I can get more into tomorrow on this setup and what that could look like and obviously what the reactions are. And I would just pose this question to anybody who's asking, like, why didn't the Big 12 or the ACC ask for more? Man, they're getting screwed. I'm seeing a lot of, like, they signed their own death certificate. And you know what? That very well may be true. My whole point is that they've at least secured the next few years, which is more than you could have said before this agreement was made, and there are a lot of details to come. But I pose this question to you guys, and I pose this to the audience who says, they should have held out for more money, or they should have this, or they should have that, and maybe they should have. But tell me how they were going to go about doing that and what the solution to that was. What were they going to do? Were they going to just hold out and argue until they got their way, knowing full well that you're already kind of
what were you going to do differently? What did Kirk Schultz in Washington State and Oregon State eventually have to do? This is reality.
It's not fun to say, you know, get the bend the knee gif in front of you when it comes to the conference that your team plays in. But I ask you then, if you don't like it, what is the alternative? And maybe the alternative in 4 years when there's that look in and the ACC exists or it doesn't or whatever is the big split because the money is just so ridiculous. But at least we know the playoff format, which was a big hurdle, and now we can start moving on to we know the playoff has been agreed upon, and now we can move forward to the structure. And then, yes, is this the death of college football? Maybe, but I don't take it as, like, grave news today. And I ask you again, what would they do differently? What were they going to argue and fight for that was going to make the Big Ten and the SEC go, you know what, guys, you're right. We're grabbing too much money. You guys have this. And like I said earlier, that money part of it, at some point, does some of it become almost negligible? if we do go to this new world and there are rosters and basically South Carolina wants to pretend to be like the Carolina Panthers or something, then that will be a much different world and not one that we're talking about. And college football is still going to exist at multiple levels. So let's a lot still of mysteries to figure out here, but at least one step forward was made today, and now we can start talking about the next few steps forward.
Yeah, the details come out. We'll figure that out along the way. But the bottom line is you're still a part of the four conferences that are getting the largest chunk with the SEC, Big Ten, the ACC, and also the Big 12. More news maybe even by tomorrow. I'm going to be out the next couple of days, headed down to see my brothers in Florida. By the way, Craig, happy birthday before I say goodbye, which is on Friday. Yep. The big...
Yep, the big one, big 4-0.
The big 4-0. Yep. Paul, you were there 10 years ago.
Welcome. No, 4 years ago. 4 years ago. I'm turning 44 in April.
44, 19th. Henry Aaron, but, Willie McCovey.
Yeah, but welcome aboard, Craig.
Yeah, you know, I was going to negotiate and argue that I was going to be 35 for forever, but guess what?
Reality.
Can't do anything about it. Yep. Yeah.
Garrett Ross, thank you very much. Jack McKenzie, Emery Winters working on 365 Sports tonight on the CW. And also, if you haven't, before you say goodnight, hit the like button. If you haven't, also subscribe, and we would appreciate that. This is 365 Sports. I'm David Smoke. Have a great night.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.